Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Dr. Myron Gall.
I like to fish. I mean for fish. And when I was in Virginia, going to Virginia Bible College, I remember having a member of the congregation say, "How would you like to go deep sea fishing?" I said, "It would be great." But then when we were fishing, I happened to say, "Well, what is the biggest fish you ever caught?" Well, I always like to know that. And he said, "I'll tell you." He said, "I used to fish for sea bass." He said, "And at night we would put out a barrel and attach a line to it. And then the next night at the same time late, we would go and see if there was anything on the barrel." So he said one night they went back and the barrel was moving around. So they pulled in this sea bass and they decided that he'd clean it up a little bit, and take it home to his wife. And when she saw it, she said, "Get that out of here. You're not bringing that into the house." He said, "What'll I do with it?" He said, "Well, take it to your brother." His brother lived about 5 miles down the street, so he took the fish, which was in the trunk of his car, and he said, as his brother was in an upstairs apartment above a drugstore, he threw a little pebble, honked the horn. The man looked out the window. His brother said, "What do you got?" He said, "I got a fish for you." He said, "How big is it?" He says, "It's this big between the eyes." And it was big. It was 400 and some pounds. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus was a fisherman. Before we begin, we pray. Father, thank you. We do realize the word sanctuary means place of worship, but can also mean a place of safety. So we do pray for sanctuary for those who are endangered with hurricanes. We pray for those in Texas. We pray for those in Florida. We pray for those around the country. And we pray, Lord, we know that you are the sovereign God who is supreme over all of nature. And so we commit and trust that you are our sanctuary. So we pray you would bless this service today. That you touch our lives, that we might ever think of you, whatever the storm, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Now, I say this every time the pastor's here because he can't stand it when I say this and I'm awful. But I will say, take a wee look in the book of Luke. And if you hear this in tape, Tom, that was just for you. We're reading verses 1 through 11. Luke 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on we'll fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything and followed him. Now, what you've got to understand is there were two boats. Both of them were empty. And Jesus, in verse 3, got into the boat belonging to Simon, and he put out a little from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. At that point, Jesus began fishing, and I'll explain that in a bit. In verse 4, he says, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus was fishing. But the master, "We've worked hard all night and have caught nothing. Because you say so, we'll let down the nets." In verse 6, when they let down the nets, they got so many fish, they weren't able to haul them in, so they signaled their partners in the other boat. Now, here's what Jesus was doing. He was fishing for disciples. Now, I want you to understand this. He was fishing for disciples. Jesus was fishing for disciples. Peter would get all the help he needed once he became a disciple. In verse 9, Peter and his posse were astonished at the number of fish they'd taken. Peter was astonished at what Christ had done. Have you ever been astonished at what Christ has done in your life? Have you ever been astonished? You say, well, my boat's empty. It wouldn't be if you put Jesus in it. But my boat's empty. It wouldn't be if you put Jesus in it. Jesus was fishing for you. And let me tell you something interesting. You say, but I'm not good enough. My boat's empty. You feel your life is just one boring day after day, boring time, feeling that the time for dreaming is over. Perhaps you feel like a failure. It's time to get a life. Noah was a drunk. Moses had a temper. Gideon got scared. Peter was a coward. Thomas doubted. Martha pouted. But God dealt with them and used every single one of them. Any old boat will function if Jesus is in it. Now I want you to understand that. Then in verse 5:11, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Now in Greek, he said, from now on, you'll catch men. In Greek, that says, catch them in order to keep them alive. Catch them in order to keep them alive. Jesus was fishing for people to catch them, to keep them alive. In Luke 22, verse 31, it says, Jesus speaking to Simon, Simon, Peter, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, in Matthew 16, 13, there's a very interesting verse. There was a discussion, and people said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon that statement, I will build my church. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus was fishing for Peter to keep him alive. He wanted to keep him alive. Jesus is fishing for you to give you life. And that's important. You're important. When Jesus was on the shore, just a little way, speaking to the mob of people who were circled there, he was fishing for them. When he brought Peter out in the boat, he was aiming for Peter because he knew the day would come when Peter would be tempted by the devil. And he said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, I believe, this is just a personal belief, I believe that Peter would have been Satan's first choice above Judas. And Jesus prevented that. Because it was Peter who God would use at Pentecost to preach the sermon that eventually built the church. And he said, Simon Peter, upon your confession, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Jesus is fishing for disciples and he's fishing for you. And if you don't know him, you have to understand he does that to keep you alive. It's time for you to come to life. It's time for you to realize your destiny. It's time for you to realize that God is interested in looking for you. He's fishing. Of all the names Jesus has in Scripture, and there's over 120, and someday I'll give a list to the Wednesday night Bible study of all the names that are used for Jesus in Scripture. But one that could easily be used that isn't referred to was fisherman. That's Jesus. Now, you say, well, what can I really do? Well, let me read you something. God wants you just the way you are. Remember, it was interesting that Peter at one time was called by Jesus to get out of the boat. Now he's called by Jesus to get into the boat. And it's interesting, just the way you are, this article. My friend Mark Tucker produces and delivers multimedia slide presentations to audiences across the country. One night, following one of the shows on the East Coast, a woman came up to him and said, you know, you really should be using my son's music in your show. So Mark started to give her the usual rap. First, her son should make a demo tape. It didn't have to be professional, he explained. In fact, her son should just go into his bedroom and play some simple chords on his guitar, just enough to give Mark an idea of the type of music he played. And after he'd explained the whole process, the woman gave him a funny look and said, well, my son is Billy Joel. As soon as he recovered from the shock, Mark quickly assured her that her son would not need to send a demo tape. He then listened as the woman urged him to consider using one particular song her son had written. She felt it contained a positive message about self-worth that would fit Mark's work beautifully. And she went on to describe how the seeds of that song had been planted in early childhood. As a young boy, she explained, Billy Joel often wanted to be someone else, someone different from who he was. It seems he was teased a lot because he was shorter than the rest of the kids. It was common for him to come home from school or play and complain that he wasn't good enough. And he truly believed that if he could just be a little taller, he'd be okay. Imagine that. His mother, of course, never believed for a minute that her son was anything less than perfect. So every time he expressed something negative about himself, she said to him, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be like someone else because you're already perfect. We're all unique, we're all different, and you too have something wonderful to share with the world, and I love you just the way you are." Remember that old expression about words coming back to haunt us? In this case, the words of a mother who unconditionally loved her son came back many years later in the form of a song. You see, as Billy Joel grew up, he learned who he was, and he found his dream of creating music for the world. And millions of people got to hear with their hearts, as his mother did, the words of his Grammy Award-winning song, "Don't Go Changing to Try and Please Me. I love you just the way you are." God loves you just the way you are, and he wants to get into the boat with you. You are so incredibly important. You are so significant, and Jesus wants to catch you to keep you alive, to give you a life. Can you imagine Peter when he's first confronted by Jesus, and Jesus said, "Well, get out there and throw the nets out." And Peter says, "Wow, we've done this. We've done it most of our lives. There's no fish out there." But Jesus took the same territory that he had been over and gone over and over again and used the same territory to produce results. What about you? The same old territory. The same old territory that you went over day after day, moment after moment, and got nothing is the same territory that Jesus can fill your life with. And you won't be alone because he'll call other partners to walk with you. Listen, get a life. Get a life. It's not too late. You're that significant. I want to finish with what I think is a very significant illustration. Now listen to this. Singer-songwriter Robert Hamlet wrote, "The Lady Who Prays for Me," as a tribute to his mother, who made a point of praying for her son each morning before they went to the bus stop. After a young woman heard Hamlet sing his song, she committed to praying with her son, with her own little boy. The result was heartwarming, but before her son went out the door, her mother prayed for him. 5 minutes later, he returned, bringing kids from the bus stop with him. His mom was taken back and asked, "What's going on?" The boy responded, "Their moms didn't pray with them." Their moms didn't pray with them. That little boy was fishing. Do you understand? That little boy was fishing. If you haven't been caught, you deserve a life. And Jesus wants to keep you alive. He doesn't want you to smolder and break down like ashes after a blazing fire. He doesn't want you to start running and then become exhausted and fall on your face in the middle of the track. He doesn't want you to feel that you're useless and of no use and your prayers are never answered. He doesn't want to leave you with an empty boat. He wants to get into the boat with you. He wants to surround you and capture you to keep you alive. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Isn't that exciting? You know what? At my 5'11", I'm not really. At my 6'2", I'm afraid of nothing. And you know what I do when I'm standing there courageous? I say, "Mickey!" And there's a real story about that. And I'll tell it to you someday. But right now, I want you to understand, it doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, big or small, or Myron Gall. It only matters that you understand that Jesus is fishing for you. And he wants to keep you alive. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for what you've done for us. I know, Lord, that you caught me like you caught Peter. You didn't want him to go down the pipe. You didn't want him to be eaten up by Satan. You knew that when he made that confession, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God," that Satan wouldn't like that, and Satan tried to sift him as wheat. But you prayed for him, and you said, when you are converted, upon that statement about Christ, and upon that rock, that conditional statement, Jesus used Peter, the one that Satan sought to destroy, a very moving force in the establishment of his church at Pentecost. We pray you'd bless now our lives. Help us to realize that if the boat's empty, at least there's room. And we pray that you would fill our boat by coming aboard with us as we sail the seas of adventure and the life of being fully alive. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.